to do.
Good morning!
Everybody ready?
Identify musical compositions.
The hottest music of the 90s and now.
Oh boy, here we go again.
With Keith and Don in the morning mix. Mix 96.7 WBVI.
11 after 8 o'clock in the morning here on Mix 96.7.
We are so thankful to have on the other end of our phone line Dr. Sharon Perry Fantini. From Tiffin University, she is the Vice Provost for Quality, Access, and Opportunity. She's also the Title IX Coordinator. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us here.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a very eye-opening experience for many Americans over the whole George Lloyd episode. This seems different for some reason, that you've got a lot more people that are white that seem to be rallying towards the cause, when in the past it was always a big divide.
So it makes me think about the 60s. And if you review that footage, you will see that we as a community, a collection of different races that were walking together in those marches back in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
I believe social media, I believe access to a wide range of communication has really put the spotlight on what is actually happening. We have a renewed sense of awareness.
There's a picture from a protest that happened in Tiffin, Seneca County, that I really, really like. It's the sign, the person's holding a sign that said, it's not a black versus white, it's an everyone versus racism. But for some people, they just don't understand racism and the prevalence mm-hmm. that it still has. Can you comment a little bit about that?
I can. And again, I'm going back to a lot of the language that we had from the 60s. And Dr. King had a great statement many, many years ago when he talked about a riot is the language of the unheard. And he went on to say in one of his speeches that as long as we have failed to hear the large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than justice, equality, and humanity, we're going to continue to have these challenges. He went on to say, as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these reoccurrences of violence and riots over and over and over again. And until social justice and progress are absolutely guarantees against riot prevention.
Hmm. What, from the outsider's point of view, when you see the riots happen, probably the piece of footage that really got to me was this lady who said that they've destroyed my only source of food, my grocery store.
Absolutely.
They've destroyed it. I have no other way to get there. I don't have a car. I can't, I can't pay for a taxi. And it's like, why is that done? Is that just being able to get that anger out, and that's the easiest way to show it?
And again, we're going back. It's so interesting how history repeats itself, and we really need to do a better job as society as recognizing that and honing in on that. Because if you think about the struggle for freedom and justice, when people feel like they don't have that, and they have no other way of gaining that, and our society is weakening because of many external factors, it goes back to the riot. It's the language of the unheard.
People who don't understand this and the fear that others have, can you describe what... I read something, I guess what I'm going for is I read something on the internet saying, as a white person, I don't have the fear of walking down the street late at night. I don't have the fear of wearing a hoodie in July if I'm cold. I don't have a fear of putting my hands in my pockets as I'm walking down the street. Can you comment on the differences in the in, as my daughter would say, she's an activist, about the privilege white people have that that others don't have.
And I think you really, really honed in on it by absolutely sharing that we as a nation need to understand what our privileges are and what our privileges are not. And that is a very true fear and feeling of hopelessness when you are in a community that you feel that if I do wear a hoodie as a person of color, there may be challenges, as opposed to someone who is not and decides not to wear a hoodie or whatever that may be. Understanding that that is a real fear outside of a lens of privilege, that is going to bring us to a different day. That is going to start breaking down some of those stereotypes that are less than positive that we have in society today. I believe it comes back to education. Education is one of the most powerful weapons we have to change the world that we live in, and I'm borrowing that from Nelson Mandela, but it is very true. And the only way we're going to recognize that is we need to have these deep conversations.
Can I ask, and I kind of go back to the first question I had about the way white society has really honed in on this and grasped and wanted to be part of this. What has COVID-19 done to change us? Has it made us more, did this come at just, I don't want to say at just the right time, but did this come at a time when had COVID-19 not happened, maybe we wouldn't have had the reaction that we're now having?
And you also, another great point, because if we look at research, it argues that worsening of our economy, our stance, our social conditions really bring out what we feel or what we're seeing today if we're wrapping everything together and looking at the word riots. You're absolutely right, because people are feeling that society is going in a direction that that causes us to fear, even if it is COVID-19. And this on top of that, absolutely, brings it to a whole nother level.
I guess my thought was, do we feel all as one now, more as a one society rather than black, white, Hispanic? You know, this, everyone is suffering from this in many, many different ways.
And another point, if you think about a couple years ago, we know back in 2010, we had no more black and brown babies born than we had white babies. So our society is changing. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of folks that have folks that in their families today that may not have been part of their family 20, 25 years ago. So a lot of that has to do with the changing of society and the world that we live in.
So how does a white Caucasian understand what to do to help this for a person of color, to break down that barrier, to for lack of a better way, to just to make racism go away? How does that happen?
I really believe it starts with education. And I think about something as simple as walking through a supermarket. And if you're a person of color and you see a baby, that the baby may be white, and the baby smiles and waves at you, when does that change in our society? Mm. When does the baby go from waving at the person of color to being fearful of that person of color? And I absolutely believe it starts with education.
That's a great, great point.
It just gave me goosebumps. It does.
All right. Well, we really appreciate your time, Doctor, and I know the many good things that they're doing over at TU.
Absolutely.
So hang in there and be safe. And
thank you.
Will you be seating students this fall? What's the?
We are actually having those conversations going on right now with our scenario planning. That is our number one hope and desire.
Very good. Okay. Thank you so much
for calling. Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Dr. Fantini from Tiffin University.
Again, great conversation, and that's a great point. When does that change?
Yeah.
Because it does at some point.
Does it change in school? Does it change at the home?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have those conversations with your kids and with your family and talk about how you can be the difference.
I can remember living through the 67 riots up in the Detroit area where I grew up. And every night our parents would sit around the table looking at the map and seeing how they were getting closer and closer. Mm-hmm. And the fear that you had, the intense fear of seeing helicopters flying over.
I have actually a friend in Sandusky, and there were some protests in Sandusky yesterday, and they were talking about, you know, do I become fearful? Do I stay at home? Do I lock my doors? Do I take part in this? Because of the fact they were busing people in, and they were busing people in from Cleveland, where some of the destruction did occur, and thankfully she posted later that everything was good and that they were loud, though, but they're making a statement. So, you know.
All right. Let's hope we live by what Dr. Martin Luther King was, all peace, you know.
Mm-hmm. But making that change, because that change hasn't happened yet.
No. 8:22 in the morning. Coming up later on this morning, we'll talk with Ben Beatty, who's the health commissioner from Wood County.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go back to Tiff.